Well, let me begin by welcoming you properly. It is lovely to see you all this Sunday morning as we draw to a close in our series in Hebrews. One of the things we started doing during lockdown was sometimes saying a psalm together, and I thought that would be a great way to begin our service this morning. You'll see there on the service sheet Psalm 150, and we're going to do it antiphonally, which is the posh word for "I say a bit, then you say a bit." So I'll do the stuff not in bold, and you guys do the stuff in bold. I might say that bit in bold as well, otherwise no one quite knows when to speak. So we're going to begin by saying Psalm 150 together. If you want to follow along and join in, by all means, please do. Can I just say, I know it's not much fun speaking with a mask on, we're also encouraged not to raise our voices too loudly, okay? So don't feel like you have to be shouting this out. But if you want to join in and say along as we do so, then that would be lovely. So Psalm 150, let's say this together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I was preparing for this, it becomes very obvious, doesn't it, that there's much of that in one sense that we cannot do. You're not allowed to dance today. You have to stay in your pews. You're not allowed to praise in song today, but it's great to have Neil with us. And when he does lead the songs, either can I encourage you to listen, to maybe read along with the words. And if you want to, you are allowed to hum along. I don't know whether you'll find that helpful or unhelpful, but you're entirely free to do whatever you wish. But we're going to be singing a little bit later on. But we can praise the Lord, of course, in all sorts of different ways. And as Psalm 150 reminds us, it is right that everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that is because the Lord made everything and sustains everything. Of course, when we remember what the Lord is like, we also remember how we don't always praise him. Sometimes we ignore him, and sometimes we disobey him. Well, what are we to do then when we look at the past week and think there's not been as much praising as perhaps there should be? Well, it was a little over a week ago now, a Christian gentleman called Jim Packer, who's perhaps best well known for his Christian book writing, he died and went to heaven. Now, Jim Packer wrote some excellent books, and he's incredibly quotable. I'm just going to use one this morning because it's short, but he wrote this, which is hugely insightful. He said, adoption, that's the idea that when you become a Christian, God becomes your father in heaven and you become one of his children. He said, adoption is the highest privilege of the gospel. The traitor is forgiven, brought in for supper, and given the family name. The traitor is forgiven, brought in for supper, and given the family name. So when we understand the joy of what it is to be adopted by God, it means when we come to a time of confession, you'll see that as the next thing on the sheet, we don't come in terror, but in trust, knowing that God is our Heavenly Father who loves us. We don't come quivering, but confident, because God is our Heavenly Father who promises to forgive us. So just take a moment to look through the words of the confession there. If there's any words you don't understand, you might want to ask your parents or someone nearby, and then we'll pray the words together. Let us then say the confession together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. we're reminded in the Bible, God's word, that God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Well, we're going to have a song now. As I said before, if you want to hum along, by all means do, but don't feel like you have to. I think we'll remain seated for this because it'll feel very strange standing and not singing. But as I say, do follow along as Neil sings for us. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. We're going to say the creed together now, and I think this is something for which we can probably stand. So if you'd like to, do please stand up, but don't feel you have to. And then we will say this statement of belief. Christians have been saying for a long, long time, and it reminds us of all the good things we believe about our Father God, the Lord Jesus as well. So let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do please take a seat. Bible reading. And where's Jenny gone? There's Jenny. Jenny's going to bring our Bible reading to us. It's printed there on the sheet. Let me just pray as we come to the reading and hearing of God's word. Father God, we do want to thank you for being able to gather together again and being able to gather again and listen to your word read for us. We thank you that you continue to be a speaking God this day. And we ask, as always, that by your Holy Spirit, you would give us ears to hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Jenny, thank you very much. If you've been listening in the past few weeks, you know we've been working through Hebrews 11. And today we get to the next bit, Hebrews 12. We're going to spend this week and then next week looking at these three verses together as this little series draws to a close. But as we begin, let's think about this for a moment. This is the summertime, and I guess we already know people who've been gun to go on holiday. This year, more than ever, people will be travelling along in the UK. And I doubt there's going to be a single car day where a car journey doesn't have the question asked, are we there yet? I don't know if you've ever asked that. You've maybe asked that just quite recently, travelling in the car. It's a common question because for whatever reason, the car journey seems to be taking longer than was first thought. Not as straightforward or as enjoyable as you anticipated. And where you want to get to still feels miles away. Sometimes maybe you've been on those car journeys and think, well, maybe we should just turn around and go back home. Whereas before you were really looking forward to seeing your grandparents when you got there. Now, because it's taking so long, you're just not sure if it's worth it. Well, that helps us understand why this letter called Hebrews was written. It was written to Christians, followers of Jesus, but things were not going quite as they thought. It's turning out to be quite hard work following Jesus. Plus, they're being given a hard time by other people. So they're beginning to think that a different way of life would be easier. Now, when they first heard the news about how Jesus loved them so much, he was prepared to die for them so they could be forgiven and have their friendship with God restored. Well, that was great news. But of course, following Jesus meant leaving behind the temple they used to visit, the priests they used to chat to, and the rituals they used to take part in. All the stuff that they could see and touch and feel and smell, that had all stopped. Now, they knew Jesus was better than all that stuff, so that's okay. But after a while, not being able to see Jesus, especially when life was hard, well, that meant they were struggling and they were thinking of giving up on Jesus and going back to their old way of life. Maybe that you find that being a Christian is a bit like that and you ask yourself, well, how can I keep going? That's actually pretty normal. That's why the verses we're looking at today, being a Christian is likened to being in a race. A long race where we'll get tired, where we'll need perseverance because at times we'll feel like giving up on Jesus. But the good news here is that these verses, they're not just an acknowledgement that it's going to be hard. They are an encouragement to keep going. And today, we're just going to look at the first bit of our reading where we have three lettuces. Now, I don't mean lettuce as in crispy and green and great in a salad. I mean three let-us-es. You'll see them there on the screen. Three lettuces, and we're going to think about each of those, okay? And the first one we're going to think about is in the middle there. Let us run. Let us run with perseverance. Here's a map of France, and that squiggly line across the middle of it is the route that this year's Tour de France riders will be taking. They're going to spend 3 weeks travelling over 2,000 miles on their bicycles. So if the bike riders are going to finish the race, if they're going to keep going all the way to the finish line, well, they're going to need to persevere because they look at the route and think, well, that is a long, long way. So because they know it's going to be a long race and a hard race, they also need all the help they can get. That means that a bike team won't just have 8 people who ride bicycles. There will be lots of people behind the scenes. There will be mechanics and nutritionists and a medical team and so on. They're all there to help them finish the race. Well, we see from verse 1 that the Christian is to run with perseverance. Now, whereas most races, the majority of people, they stand and watch and only a few people run, in the Christian life, we're reminded here, there is no standing still and watching. Every Christian believer is called to run with perseverance. Now, it doesn't actually involve going for a jog, but following Jesus does require perseverance. The point of this verse is that it can be hard and we will need help. And so we see in verse 1 that to help us, we have a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this is talking about the people we've been thinking about in chapter 11 these past few weeks. They are there to encourage us to keep going and to finish. They remind us that it can be really hard at times, but it's not too hard. They remind us that even though we need to persevere, we can persevere. But they're not just like a crowd. When you maybe hear about a crowd, you think about people watching something like a race at the Olympics. They're just watching, maybe they're cheering, maybe they're waving a flag. But the cloud of witnesses here, they're more like a team of coaches who have already run their race and made it to the finish line. And the way they help you and I persevere today is that they bear witness. They show us, they help remind us how to keep running and how keeping running really is worth it. So let's now think about how we do that as Christians. And in our verse for today, we're going to be given 2 great coaching tips to help us keep running with perseverance. The first one is this: let us throw off everything that slows us down. We're told if we're going to run with perseverance, we need to lay aside, get rid of everything that stops us running. Now, in the Tour de France, a bike rider and his team, they will do all they can to make sure nothing slows them down. So they will make their bike as light as possible and their body as light as possible. And they'll do all they can to lower any sort of drag they have and improve their aerodynamics to make the race more doable so that they can persevere and finish. And we're reminded that actually, as Christian believers, we're to do something similar. Throw off everything that hinders, everything that slows us down or gets in the way of our keeping on running. It would be very strange if next month in the Tour de France, we saw someone on their bike and they had a barbecue on the back of their bike and they were wearing their favourite wellies. They won't do that because they know it slows them down. And actually, I do something similar in my bike riding. Now, I've come to the conclusion I'm never going to be a professional cyclist, but I still try to not carry extra weight when I go for a bike ride. That even means that I wear Lycra. Don't worry, no photos, but I do, because I know that will help me go faster. But there is a problem with my bike riding. I still eat cake, quite a lot of cake. I like cake, even though I know it slows me down on the bike. Now, that's okay for my pootling around Berkshire on a bicycle. But if I'm going to persevere as a Christian, I am told in verse 1 to get rid of everything that hinders and entangles. Not just some things, but everything. Spiritually speaking, then, that's the wellies and the barbecue and the cake as well. Now, different things will weigh down different people. Something which hinders one person might not hinder another. Just as a bicycle is helpful for a cyclist, but a hindrance for a cross-country skier. So some things might slow down one Christian, but not another. That means we need to each think hard about what impedes us personally. Worry less about what might hinder someone else, and worry about what impedes us. It might be hobbies or ambitions or desires or other things we enjoy. They're not wrong as such. They just maybe take up a bit too much of our time. They distract us from running. They get in the way and slow us down. A good place to start might be to think about what can stop us from having time to read our Bibles and pray each day. Maybe it won't stop us doing those things. It'll just mean we're doing those things in a rush because other things have taken longer and there are only so many hours in a day. But while some hindrances may vary, there are other things which will not only slow us down, they will entangle us. That's the sort of language where you're trying to run, but something wraps around your feet. And it doesn't just slow you down, it can trip you up so you fall flat on your face. Our verse talks about the sin that so easily entangles. Now, what are those things? Well, these are the things that God makes very clear in the Bible that will always trip us up. All of us, each and every one of us, they will always trip us up. A jealous thought, a lustful look, a critical spirit, a proud heart, a greedy desire. The instruction in Hebrews 12 is get rid of anything and everything that slows us down or trips us up. Because by doing that, we'll be able to run with perseverance. I wonder, last time you maybe to the beach or to the river, you took a picnic with you. I wonder if you had to carry the cool box. It had everyone's lunch in, so it's really, really heavy. It's quite hard work carrying it from the car. But at the end of the day, it's a lovely feeling, isn't it? Because you're already quite tired and you think, oh no, not the cool box again. But this time you pick it up and it's so much easier because it's so much lighter. Well, that's the effect that turning from sin has on our running with perseverance. And the examples, the witnesses that we've looked at in chapter 11 help remind us of that truth. Perhaps the clearest example of this is given to us by Moses in chapter 11. He left behind the treasures of Egypt and life in Pharaoh's palace. He left all that behind. And we might scratch our heads and think, well, what was Moses thinking of? Surely he could have had more influence by remaining in Pharaoh's government. Would that not have been more strategic? And actually, for some people, it was. Like Joseph, that's exactly what he did. But Moses saw what was before him and realized it would just wrap around his feet and trip him up and stop him running. So it wasn't so much a position of influence as an opportunity for him to sin. And so Moses threw that off and literally ran away. Why? So he could keep running and not grow weary. So here's a question to be thinking about today and in the week ahead. Ask ourselves, am I more like Moses or a monkey? Let me explain what I mean. If you want to catch a monkey, all you apparently need to do is put an apple coated in syrup in a bottle, where the opening to the bottle is just slightly larger than the apple itself. You then tie the bottle to the ground. When a monkey comes along, he wants the apple. So he puts his hand in and grabs it. But here's the thing. He can't get his hand out of the bottle unless he lets go of the apple first. Now, apparently, I haven't done this myself, but I'm told, a monkey will often rather let himself be captured than let go of his prize. It is trapped by his desire for what's inside. So we can ask ourselves, well, am I so tempted and enticed by the pleasures of sin that I just refuse to let go? Or like Moses, are we prepared to see them for what they are and run away? Now, that can be a hard thing to do. After all, like a syrup-coated apple, sin can be quite sticky. Untangling ourselves may take quite a long time. But the first step is to recognize it for what it really is and start praying about it. It may also help to seek the support of a trusted Christian brother or sister who can support you and pray with you if that's appropriate. Are we more like Moses or a monkey? But there was, of course, another part to what Moses did. We're told in chapter 11, he focused on something better, God's promises, and focused on someone better. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. He focused on God. And what we see at the beginning of verse 2 in our reading is that we are to do the same. It is the final lettuce. It is this. So we let us run with perseverance. Let us let go of sin. Let us look to Jesus. Now, we're going to think more about why Jesus is so important next Sunday. But where we are to be looking, well, that's very clear, isn't it? Like the runner, we're to have tunnel vision, not be distracted by things around us, but focus on the finish line. So when racing, a runner doesn't spend his time waving to the crowd or texting his mum. He focuses on where he is going. And every Christian is to fix their eyes on Jesus. For when we reach the end of our race, we will see him face to face. That's the wonderful promise. That's why we're to look at him now and each day, because one day we will be with him. So when we are weary, whether that's physically, emotionally, spiritually, or relationally, so easy, isn't it, to fix our eyes on ourselves, or maybe fix our eyes on what someone else has that we really want. But we become very short-sighted. We no longer look to Jesus. But in this verse, we're reminded that if we're going to run with perseverance, if we're going to keep going, then we need to keep looking to Jesus, keep our eyes fixed on him. Now, there's very practical ways that we can do it. At the moment, Jesus is invisible in that sense. But reading about him, singing about him, thinking about him, talking about him to other people, all help us fix our eyes on Jesus. It is when we let go of everything that slows us down and we look to Jesus that we will persevere, that we will keep running and not grow weary. Every rider in the Tour de France perseveres because they know how happy they will be when they reach the finish line in Paris. And that really long, are we there yet car journey? Well, it's so worth it because at the end you get to see Grandma. Well, every Christian is to persevere because at the finish line we will see Jesus himself, our Saviour and King, our brother and our friend. I'm going to close in prayer now, and then we're going to listen to another song. It's a song that reminds us why we should look to Jesus, turn to Jesus, and run to Jesus. But before we do that, let's bow our heads and pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for the help we have in these verses. Please, by your Holy Spirit, help us identify and let go of those things which slow us down or trip us up. And in the week ahead, help us fix our eyes on Jesus, that we may run with perseverance the race set before us. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you. You've been sitting for a little while. We're going to have a pause and a stretch. So if you want to stand up or stretch, by all means, now is a good time to do that. And during that time, Zanna is going to come up and lead us in our prayers.
Okay, we're going to spend some time praying together now. Psalm 27 starts, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that so many of us can be here today, meeting in person and praising your name. Thank you for the way you've upheld us through these difficult and uncertain months. We praise you that you care about every detail of our lives and that you are faithful to all your promises. Thank you for how looking through Hebrews 11 during our online services has been helpful for encouraging us to keep trusting in you, even when it's hard, and for recognizing that even when circumstances make it difficult for us to see ahead, you are at work fulfilling your plans and promises. Help us to be people who run with perseverance the race that you have set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who has saved us and shows us how to live lives of assurance and joy. Amen. We pray for those who can't be with us today, especially if they're having to continue shielding even as lockdown eases. We pray that they wouldn't lose heart. This time of separation has highlighted how much we need each other, that you save us to be part of a family, part of a body. And so help us to be committed to each other, to seek to build friendships and support throughout the week, and to not allow our lives to become so busy that church is merely an add-on. Help us to live as your people in a way that bears powerful witness to the world of your love and grace in the way that we care for one another. And we pray for everyone in our wider society who's been negatively affected by the pandemic, for those grieving the loss of loved ones, for those who haven't been able to see elderly or frail relatives and friends, for those who felt particularly isolated and lonely, and for those anxious about their financial security and future. Lord, help us to cast all our cares onto you, knowing that you love us. Help us to support where we can and to seek support when we need it ourselves. And we pray especially for those in poorer countries where the pandemic is continuing to grow and spread and where there are far fewer resources or medical help. We pray for organisations seeking to bring aid and healthcare to often very remote villages. Please, despite worldwide recessions, help governments and individuals continue to give money and aid to support those who are destitute and in dire need. We pray that this time of global upheaval might cause many people to examine their lives and to seek you. Amen.
Amen.
We pray that our children and young people would enjoy relaxing and fun-filled holidays. Thank you for how resilient they've been during school closures and lots of change. We pray you would encourage our children in their faith, that they would know for themselves the wonderful power of prayer, and that you'd be growing each of them to trust in the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, friend, and King. When we lose the routine of daily school life, our prayer and Bible reading can become haphazard. So we pray that you'd help our children and teenagers, and indeed all of us, to build good habits into our daily lives, that we would make time to hear from your word and to allow you to build us up in heart and mind. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.
Amen.
Let's join together now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we're nearly at the end of our service. I'm going to pray in just a moment, then we'll say the grace together. And then can I ask you to please remain in your pew until you are directed to leave. But in Proverbs chapter 4, we're told this: let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Do not turn to the right or the left. Let's pray. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, and fix our gaze on Jesus, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.